Nous sommes peuple qui gagne résistance. Nous passons journée sans manger. Nous traversons des airs à pied. Nous faisons nuit sans ne pas faire manger. Nous sommes peuple qui gagne résistance.
Resistance, resistance, indeed, come back. Welcome, welcome everybody. Let's tune back in and check out some spoken word here on CKDU Radio. My name is David Parker. I'm your host for the next hour. This is Resistance Radio, brought to you every Tuesday afternoon, evening, from 5:30 until at least 6 p.m., but occasionally, like today, probably going all the way to 6:30. It's a show that highlights struggles against colonialism, capitalism, and imperialism here in Halifax, in the region of the Atlantic provinces, in Canada nationally and internationally. Today's show will bring to us and highlight the struggle of a political prisoner who is locked down in Rivière des Prairies. It's a detention center in north of Montreal. He's a member of the Basque Nation. He's also believes in the Basque independence from the Spanish government. And he has been in detention for the past year in Rivière des Prairies. We're going to hear his letter, a letter from Ivan Apolaza Sancho. And we're also going to hear an interview with his co-counsel and lawyer, Jared Will, who is in Montreal. The reason we bring it to is bring it to our listeners today is because the family of Ivan Sancho is visiting Canada currently, and so they are here to meet with people who support his cause in Montreal. There's a movement called the Comité Justice pour Ivan, so the Justice for Ivan Committee, struggling on the legal side to stay his deportation. The Spanish government has requested that he be returned, extradited to Spain, but the Spanish government has a long history of torture of Basque independence fighters, as well as Basque independence believers, people who aren't actually part of the independence movement, but who might be with human rights organizations or just leftists or anyone who believes in independence, has been targeted by the Spanish government traditionally and criminalized the Basque movement for independence. So we're going to look at that. And yeah, we're really happy to bring to you the subject today on Resistance Radio. Tune in every Tuesday at 5:30 to check it out. Soon after this musical interlude, we'll hear the letter from Ivan Sancho read by a CKDU volunteer, voiced by a CKDU volunteer, but this is a letter written by Ivan Sancho for the greater community to bring awareness to his condition and his plight at as he's locked down currently at Rivière des Prairies in Montreal. So do stay tuned. We'll be right back with that letter here on Resistance Radio.
name is Ivan Apalazo Sancho. I am a graduate in sociology and my nationality is Basque. I've been detained at the Riviere de Prairie Detention Center in Montreal since June 29, 2007 on the basis of an arrest warrant issued by the Spanish state and with the help of Immigration Canada. This is a Spanish state that during all of my deportation proceedings has presented no evidence whatsoever against me, only accusations. Accusations which I denied. A state that seeks my deportation based on the principle that accusations are evidence and on a conception of justice founded not on the right to be presumed innocent until proven guilty, but rather than one is guilty until innocence is proven. In December of 2007, my lawyers filed a motion seeking the dismissal of the deportation proceedings against me in light of the total absence of evidence presented. If I am deported, I will be placed in the hands of the Spanish police or the Civil Guard, both being forces with a sad record of torture, torture which has been denounced each year, including 2007, by Amnesty International, and which has been decried by the UN Special Rapporteur. For example, last week, a young Basque named Igor Porto found himself in the intensive care unit of the San Sebastian Hospital with several broken ribs and a punctured lung after having passed through the hands of the Civil Guard. The Spanish judicial system permits incommunicado detention in police custody for 5 days without the right to a lawyer, a trustworthy doctor, or to communication with one's family. The U.S. has its infamous Patriot Act, and in Spain there is the anti-terrorist law and the political parties law. These laws have permitted the closure of newspapers, the banning of political parties, and the imprisonment of persons for the simple reasons that they are Basque and pro-independence. Laws which make you a member of the ETA when you don't even know you're a member. Laws which allow a judge to justify the closure of EGIN, the newspaper with the second largest circulation in the Basque country, by stating that there is no lack of evidence to justice the shutdown of EGN. All you have to do is read it. Laws which transform pro-independent Basque directly into terrorists, where people are not judged for their unlawful acts, but for their ideas. In response to this situation, the City Council of my hometown has passed resolutions asking Canada to grant me political asylum and to liberate me, and my neighbors in the Basque country have already gathered over 2,000 signatures on a petition with the same demands. I will also take advantage of this opportunity to denounce the conditions that were imposed on me here in Riviere de Prairie. For 6 months, I was in the most restricted sections of the prison without the right to participate in any activities. I had only 1 hour a day in the courtyard, no gym, no studies, nothing. This is a regime where calling my family in the Basque country was a privilege, not a right, where I was not permitted to embrace my family who had come to visit me all the way from the Basque country, and where it still takes 2 months for my meal to come through. I have lived in Canada and in Quebec for almost 7 years without having any problems, working as a carpenter. It's true that I assumed another name in order to work and to live, but I did so out of fear of exactly what is happening to me now. Fully aware of what has happened to Gorka and Eduardo, who were extradited to Spain in 2005 and who are still in prison for crimes they did not commit, I did not want to become another Basque political prisoner in Canada. That is what I am today. All I ask is to be able to stay here, to live peacefully, without fear of reprisals from the Spanish government, because I am Basque and pro-independence.
What you just heard were the words of Ivan Apolaza Sancho, a political prisoner detained at Riviere des Prairies in Montreal. of the Basque independence movement, ETA, detained for more than a year now. After this musical interlude, we'll be right back with an interview with Jared Will, co-counsel and lawyer for Ivan Sancho. Stay tuned. This is Resistance Radio. And we're back on Resistance Radio. I'm your host, David Parker. This is on CKDU 88.1 FM, www.ckdu.ca on the internet, broadcasting to you every Tuesday from 5:30 till 6 or 6:30, depending on the week. Welcome back, everybody. Glad to be here with you. We are on the topic today of a Basque political prisoner detained here in Canada of the name Ivan Sancho. He's been a political prisoner for more than a year, although living in Canada since 2001. And he has not filed a refugee claim, as was the case with Gorka and Eduardo, two Basque political prisoners here in, well, political refugees who are here in Canada, who were both extradited to Spain, where they faced torture, as Basque independence activists are well known and fighters are well known to suffer torture at the hands of the Spanish army, Spanish Civil Guard. Gorka and Eduardo were both filed refugee claims to stay in Canada under the Refugee Status Refugee Protection Act, but Canada trumped the refugee claim before it was approved and extradited the two, Gorka and Eduardo, to Spain. So the extradition order trumped the refugee claim. So for fear of the same thing happening to him, Ivan did not file for refugee status here in Canada. Currently, he's detained for over a year now, and his family are just visiting him in Canada for the next few weeks. And so in Montreal, the Solidarity Committee to Struggle for Ivan's Freedom are having a dinner with him, with the parents of Ivan Sancho, in order to think together how they can raise awareness of his issue. There's a strong movement in the Basque homeland and Basque country to free Ivan, started by his village where he's from. Over 2,000 signatures have been collected on a petition to have him stay in Canada and have him be able to be free, no longer be detained as a political prisoner here in Canada. And so I was able to do an interview with Jared Will, who is a co-counsel and lawyer for Ivan Sancho, and we're going to hear that coming up momentarily.
His been detained at Rivière de Prairie, which is the pre-trial detention facility for the Montreal region. He's been there since the 21st of June 2007, so going on 14 months now. And he's a political prisoner because he's being held by the Canadian authorities, but at the behest of the Spanish government, who issued an arrest warrant for him some 5 years ago, almost, alleging that he was a member of the ETA, the Armed Basque Nationalist Group in Spain and France. And he's being, you know, held on the basis of those warrants issued by the Spanish government, and their warrants that were clearly issued in the context of, you know, the political struggle for Basque autonomy in both France and Spain.
Is he one of the few cases of a political prisoner for the ETA movement or in the world now?
No, there are literally hundreds and hundreds of ETA political prisoners. We have to be careful when we use those terms. Basically, the Spanish government's position is anybody and everybody that is left independentist and Basque is a member of the ETA. They've sort of, you know, painted in broad strokes an entire social movement to say that, you know, whether people are running human rights collectives or, you know, other kinds of organizations, if they are Basque independentists and left, they're somehow associated with the ETA, whether they are in fact or not. The Spanish government lumps them all together. So there are, you know, literally hundreds of people that have been detained by the Spanish government and by other governments abroad on the basis of these accusations of terrorism or membership in terrorist groups. Some of them are actually accused of being members of the ETA as such, the military militant organization, which that is the case for Ivan. Many others are simply members of other organizations or accused of being members of other organizations that are alleged by the Spanish government to have links to the ETA.
And do you want to tell us about what's happened to Ivan since he arrived in Canada? What was his process for being allowed to stay and how that turned into a detention at Rivière des Prairies?
Well, basically, Ivan has been in Canada since 2001 when he entered. He entered using a false passport, a Spanish passport that belonged to somebody else, and he was living quietly in Vancouver and then in Montreal for 6 years or so before he was arrested. Basically, he fled Spain in 1997 after he realized that he was being followed by the police. He was, you know, member of some student separatist groups, independentist groups in the Basque Country, and that led to police surveillance and, you know, this very widespread repression against the Basque independentist movement. And he started feeling the brunt of that because of his involvement in, you know, independentist politics. And he left the country and he went to France, and he stayed in France for several years. And then newspaper articles started appearing in the Spanish press accusing him of links to another ETA group. And when those newspaper articles came out, he fled France to come to Canada, hoping to avoid being detained and tortured by the Spanish authorities. I mean, maybe we'll get into it later, but there's a very long, very disturbing history of the use of torture by the Spanish government, particularly against Basque detainees. So he was hoping to avoid that and fled France to Canada, basically knowing that it would be much easier for him to be apprehended and returned to Spain if he remained in France than if he came to Canada. And around the time of his arrival in Canada, there were two other Basque young men, Gorka and Eduardo, who had been detained here in Montreal after they made their claims for refugee protection. So basically they came, they claimed refugee protection on the basis of persecution by the Spanish government, and they had a very long hearing of their refugee claim. And after the claim was heard, but before a decision was rendered, they were arrested on warrants for their extradition to Spain, and they were eventually extradited. So Ivan, having sort of been witness to that whole scenario playing out, realized that, you know, claiming refugee protection would actually put him at greater risk of being sent back to Spain. because if Spain sought his extradition, that extradition would trump the refugee claim and he would have no protection. So for that reason, he chose to continue living, you know, underground or clandestinely in Canada, but he was apprehended by the RCMP in June of 2007.
You mentioned a very interesting phenomenon. You said in the case of Corca and Eduardo, their extradition trumped their refugee claim.
Mm-hmm.
How is that possible? How is that possible, given that I think you had mentioned that Spanish authorities have a history of torture?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, how is it possible? Basically, both the Immigration and Refugee Protection Act, which is the legislation governing, you know, refugee claims and refugee protection in Canada, and the Extradition Act are very explicit to the effect that as soon as an extradition warrant is issued, then refugee claim proceedings are immediately suspended, and the extradition will go forward. And if, you know, the Superior Court and the Minister of Justice decide to go ahead with the extradition, then the refugee claim falls by the wayside and the person can be extradited despite having an outstanding refugee claim. In theory, the Minister of Justice has the discretion to not allow an extradition to go forward if there is reason to believe that the person will be mistreated upon return. In practice, that discretion is not exercised when it comes to, you know, ally states. So, Canada has a very particular relationship with the European Union and members of the EU, and sort of as a matter of diplomatic comedy, they wouldn't sort of tarnish Spain's image in that respect by saying, well, we know you want him, but we won't give him to you because we're worried that you'll torture him. There are some exceptions to that. For example, Canada tends not to extradite people to the United States or other places if the death penalty is a possible outcome. They won't extradite the person until there are assurances that the death penalty won't be carried out. But, you know, in the case of Spain, and certainly in Gorka and Eduardo's case, the very high risk of torture was raised and dismissed, and they were extradited anyway.
I'm pretty curious. You had mentioned you could talk more about the long history of Spanish repression of the ETA movement and Basque independent movements.
Yeah.
Wondering if you wanted to touch on it.
Well, I'm certainly no expert on it, but it's a very well documented phenomenon. Much like Canada and the U.S. and many other countries, Spain has sort of set up a parallel, quote unquote, justice system for terrorism cases. So if a person is arrested, accused of, you know, quote-unquote terrorism-related crimes in Spain, there's a different procedure that exists than for somebody who's arrested for, you know, standard, quote-unquote, criminal acts. And what this includes is 5 days of incommunicado detention before one is brought before a judge. So even, you know, in Spanish police stations and jails, generally speaking, there is a quite widespread problem of abuse and mistreatment of detainees. But particularly in the case of people who are detained on terrorism charges, they go through this 5 days of incommunicado detention, meaning no access to their lawyer, no access to their doctor, no access to their family member, basically in the dungeons of the Spanish Civil Guard, which is the national police force, for 5 days before they're brought before a judge. And, you know, numerous groups and international bodies, everybody from, you know, the UN's Special Rapporteur on Torture to the European Committee for the Prevention of Torture, Amnesty International, Human Rights Watch, and on, have, you know, observed and criticized Spain for the prevalence of torture, particularly in this incommunicado setting. And this is something that's been going on for years. And, you know, Spain did recently amend its practices, but they amended them by extending the incommunicado period from 5 days to 13 days. So it got worse. And unfortunately, you know, this is a well-known, well-documented history of torture and abuse by Spanish police officers, and particularly during the incommunicado periods of detention, and particularly against Basque detainees. So it's a very well-known problem.
Okay, and here in Canada, there has been some public awareness and some outcry against the case of Ivan Sancho.
Yeah.
Do you want to talk about what's been happening in Montreal and if, and maybe around the country? I don't know.
Well, the committee to free Ivan formed right around the beginning of this year, and it's a relatively small group of people who've been working to do exactly what you said, to raise awareness and to try to put some pressure on the Canadian government to stop being complicit in torture. Something that's very disturbing about Ivan's case is that, as I said at the beginning, he's being held on the basis of arrest warrants that were issued by the Spanish government. And the only evidence that the Canadian government has filed against him here in his deportation proceedings are those very arrest warrants. So there's no actual evidence filed that links him to any kind of criminal or terrorist activity. The only evidence is a Spanish arrest warrant where he's accused of having participated in those activities, but none of the actual evidence to sustain those allegations has even been filed or put on record. And to make matters worse, it's clear and it's been established that the information in those arrest warrants was obtained through the use of torture. There was a woman who was arrested in 2001, and through the use of torture, the Spanish police extracted a series of declarations from her. And it's those declarations that implicate Ivan in so-called terrorist activities. And even though it's recognized, it has been recognized by the Canadian Tribunal here, that declaration was obtained as a result of the use of torture, and that it is that declaration that implicates him in ETA activities, and even though the Spanish arrest warrants say explicitly that they're based on that declaration, the courts have thus far at least retained the warrants and have not declared them inadmissible. So he's, as we, you know, where things are now, the Canadian government is still attempting to deport him on the basis of this information that was obtained as a result of the use of torture. So that is, you know, that has caused a certain reaction, a certain outcry against, you know, that complicity in the use of torture. And then there's also been sort of a grassroots movement that's been building more along the lines of solidarity with a political prisoner and not exclusively focused on the torture issue.
Okay, and his family, Ivan's family, is in Canada visiting now, apparently.
Yes.
And what, is there mobilization around that?
Well, his parents are visiting. They've been here for a couple of weeks, and they're going to be here for another couple of weeks. You know, the strength of the Basque social movements are demonstrated. I mean, their presence here is a great example of them, because there are so many Basque political prisoners in Spain and around the world that a lot of the municipalities in the Basque Autonomous Region within Spain actually have funds that are set aside to pay for family members to visit political prisoners who are detained across the world and all over Spain. So it's such a widespread phenomenon, but the movement is also strong enough that at this point they're able to set aside public funds from the municipalities to make sure that families can visit their family members who are detained. So, you know, largely thanks to that, Ivan's parents are here visiting. And, of course, you know, contacts and discussions are being had between them and the Committee to Free Ivan. And I believe that there's some discussion of organizing some kind of public demonstration or action in the next week or so while they're here.
You've been listening to an interview with Jared Will, co-counsel and legal defense for Ivan Sancho, political prisoner, Basque political prisoner, detained at Riviere des Prairies in North Montreal. He's been detained for more than a year now and faces extradition to Spain, where he may face torture. You're listening to Resistance Radio here at CKDU, 88.1 FM, www.ckdu.ca on the internet. Today's been a special presentation brought to you on the political prisoner, Ivan Sancho. August 10th was Prisoners' Justice Day, and we celebrated Prisoners' Justice Week, August 11th to 15th. last week on Operation Wake Up here. The CKDU News Collective brought that to you. And so next week we're going to have an interview in French with a Colombian political prisoner. Sorry, in Spanish. Continuing focusing on political prisoners. We're going to end off with some music. Earlier we heard a hawk and a hacksaw. This is Lubo Alexandrov with the album Cabahoro, the song Ganquino Horo. So check it out. Stay tuned and come back next week, Tuesday at 5:30.
Halifax Coalition Against Poverty wishes to invite you to our fourth annual Carnival of Resistance. This year, the Carnival forms part of HCAP's ongoing Raise the Rates campaign. Our campaign demands that the provincial government raise income assistance rates and provides more help for people on welfare. The Carnival is an outdoor afternoon event that includes a free barbecue, performances, live music, kids' activities, speeches, and more. The Carnival of Resistance will be held on Saturday, August 30th, from 1 till 4 p.m. on the grounds of the George Dixon Center, 2501 Gottingen Street. Hope to see you there.